Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and I am joined. You know it, listeners. You know it. I am joined by the man, the myth. Some would say, many would say, the legend, David Carver. David, how's it going?
Thomas is doing fantastic. My team won a game when they didn't even have to play. We got a week of playoff football. And I just mostly it's more of like I'm doing great by comparison, Thomas. Because let's get right into this. We know you had a rough week.
Yeah, it was a rough week. Last week, listeners, I made the bold prediction that I was very confident that Seattle's going to pull off this win. And we lost. We lost 3-20. We got our butts kicked by the Rams. And you know, it's a sad day. But, you know, when your team loses early in the playoffs, the only good thing about it is you do get a little higher seeding in the 2021 NFL draft. I don't know if that's saying much, but but yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm looking towards the NFL draft, doing some previewing. What does Seattle need? We need someone to stop Aaron Donald from terrorizing Russell Wilson. I know that's true.
Even with broken ribs or whatever he has.
Yeah, yeah, he's an animal, dude. He's an animal. But David, it was a busy, action-packed weekend of football. What were your any first reactions, quick thoughts? Anything stuck out to you?
Quick thoughts. You know, it was a good week of football for most of the games. Most of the games were good. Taylor Heinicke.
Yes.
Huge shout out to Taylor Heinicke. He's a baller.
Yes, he is.
Dude, that was very impressive.
What were your takeaways from that game? The Bucks, Washington football team. Did Tom Brady and the Bucks underperform, or was the Washington football team just a tough, like just a scrapper type of team?
Yeah. So there's two games this week where I think I don't know if I missed something. I don't know if people watched a different game than I did, or I don't know if people just looked at stat sheets and made a guess. Because the Buccaneers, I don't think that the Buccaneers didn't look so bad that I'm like, oh my goodness, the Buccaneers have no chance to win another game. Tom Brady shouldn't even be able to ride on the bus. Obviously, they played a good football game. They played well offensively, going up against the defense. They did figure it out late in the game. They did what they needed to do. Defensively, I don't think they played well at all. You let a guy in Heinicke go off for 306 yards, one touchdown, one pick. They did do a good job of stopping Antonio Gibson. But it's not even like Terry McLaurin beat him. Sims is the one that had 104 yards. And yeah. So I don't think the defense played all that great. But I don't think the defense played horrible either. Like, it was just kind of a slow, methodical win. It was a weird game.
Wasn't it weird?
It was such a weird game. Close all the way, and then all of a sudden it's like, we're just going to score every drive.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, the Washington football team, they were playing with a chip on their shoulder the whole night until, you know, those final couple drives for the Bucks, and they just kind of went down and scored, you know, very, very quickly. And, dude, I don't know. I do think, is it Taylor Heinicke, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Dude, what a baller. Did you see, what were your thoughts about the lunge? The 5-yard, 4-yard lunge in the corner of the end zone, touching the pylon, scoring a touchdown. That was probably one of the most amazing. That was probably the best play of the playoffs that I saw.
I agree for sure. I don't know how you put that play into words. That was an amazing play. To go put your team back within a game. I think that was the moment where, like, you know, before that, Taylor Heinicke's like, oh, yeah, this guy's doing pretty all right. But, like, to me, that was the play. When I saw that play, that was the moment when I was like, you know what? This isn't any average, ordinary game. Because, you know, we see this all the time. We're like, oh, the backup quarterback comes in and plays well. Everyone always does it every year. And the funny thing is everyone always falls for it. Like, oh, it's the backup quarterback. This guy needs a contract. This guy should be a starter. Oh, he's played three games now. Teams have tape on him. He sucks. Jalen Hurts right. this season. Look up Jalen Hurts this season. H-U-R-T-S. Hurts. No, Jalen Hurts doesn't suck. But that does happen consistently. And I think the moment where it transitioned from like, okay, this is just a backup quarterback with unscattered looks playing well. And then I think at that point it's like, you know, this guy may deserve a little bit of an opportunity yeah. here.
Dude, absolutely. He's a Minnesota guy, right? I don't know.
Old Dominion.
Oh, wow. Way off.
They're both in America.
That's very true. So not too far off, I guess. All right, Dave. We also had another game. The first game of Saturday, the Colts and the Bills. Josh Allen. The Colts played a hard, tough game. They started coming back at the end. What were your thoughts from this game? And do you think Phillip Rivers is done?
I do think Phillip Rivers is done. I think obviously in this game you have to point your eyes there at the quarterback Josh Allen, getting his first playoff win, kind of going against what happened last year. We kill in today's NFL. We kill young quarterbacks for losing playoff games, and it's right. insane. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have you would have thought they had playoff struggles their entire right. career. Josh Allen has lost one playoff game. His career playoff record is now 1-1. And going into this week, he was like, oh man, he needs to overcome everything. Lamar Jackson's similar. Lamar Jackson is now 1-2.
Yeah.
Like, it's not this crazy thing where I don't know. I don't get it. We're hard on these guys, but I'm glad to see him overcome. He played very well. The Bills are going to be a tough out. They're not going to be an easy out this
week. This is just a general question I'm going to ask, maybe just for the general. What is your general opinion of this? But so for the quarterback position, our playoff wins, this is just your straight opinion, our playoff, does it solely come down to the quarterback in your opinion that to win? I mean, how much do you weigh playoff wins in the position of a quarterback and how successful and how that equals their success?
I do not weigh it okay. one bit. And in its totality, like if I'm looking at a quarterback to see like, okay, how these two quarterbacks compare, I don't pull up the playoff wins thing because I think people forget. I actually had a conversation with a friend a couple weeks ago who was talking. We were talking about the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, and he brought up Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs and how he hasn't won, you know, obviously he hasn't won all these Super Bowls and everything. And he talked about all these other quarterbacks that, in his opinion, guys like Eli Manning were even ahead of him because Eli Manning had won two Super Bowls. And I don't remember the exact stat, but we looked at multiple different guys. And all these guys, they played like maybe 200, 300 career games. And then they played like 9 playoff games in their career. And so I think it's a joke. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter at all. Super Bowl wins are a little bit different, obviously. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all. If you never win a playoff game, yes, you have some problems. Like, if you're a dude, you should get lucky one time.
Right.
Like, if you're a dude, you should do that. But I think people – wins in general, people oversimplify football, Thomas. We know this. First off, let's talk about – this is not basketball. Let's talk about what matters. You have a defensive coordinator, a defense, a special teams coordinator. All those things quarterbacks have nothing on. No control at all. Along with the draft process, free agency, team building, coach hiring, all that. that's 80% of football right there, between when you're talking about player development, coaching, play calling, hiring coaches, hiring GMs, drafting guys. That's at least 80% of what goes into winning a game. And I think I'm being generous, because when you go all into to all of that, you probably are even a little low at 80%.
Right, I totally agree.
So let's say 20% goes down to the offense. Now, still a portion of that 20% now has to go to play calling. And I know quarterbacks can change plays at the line, but there's still play calling that's involved. And so it's not every single play is on the quarterback. So 20%, so a piece of that 20% goes to that. Then let's break it down even further, Thomas. Every single individual play, can a quarterback, let's look at the Steelers game this week. Was that Big Ben's fault that that snap was snapped over Big Ben's head?
Nope.
Big Ben had no control over that. He has no control whether the snap ends up in his hand every play. He has very little. Obviously, he can make some offensive line adjustments, but he has very little control whatsoever that the offensive line is going to block anybody. Then he has little to no control that the receiver is going to run the right route or run the route correctly or get any separation. And then after he throws the most perfect ball, he has no control whatsoever whether the receiver catches the ball. Like, this is a team sport. This is not basketball, where LeBron James is one of five players. He plays 48 minutes a night. He's the best offensive player. He's the best defensive player. He's the best passer. He's the best rebounder. He's the best defender. He's the best offensive player. Like, that's not quarterbacks. And we pretend like it is. And so, you know, quarterbacks can play very well and lose games. We've seen that. Both of us have seen that, plenty of that, in our lifetime with our Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And so I'm not saying there's none of it, because, you know, it's a case-by-case basis. There's guys when we've seen legitimate struggles year after year after year in the playoffs. Guys like, quite honestly, Andy Dalton, that gets to the game and doesn't do anything with it. Guys like Kirk Cousins, that consistently gets to the game and doesn't do anything with it. Those guys, there's a little bit more. But, like, if you even look at Kirk Cousins – and you look in his stats on these in playoffs and like primetime games, his stats in the last 5 years in playoff games and primetime games are better than his stats in other games. But yet he's seen as this guy that doesn't win games, because it all goes on the quarterback. Right. Now, they get all the credit when they win, so I'm not saying they don't deserve all the credit when they lose, I guess. But I don't know. I don't think a ton goes into it. I think we definitely look too much into it. But it's always good to see these young guys get their win.
Dude, I totally agree. And that's one of – you know, a couple years ago when I was probably more immature and dumber, to be honest, I probably would have put a lot more value behind Super Bowl wins and playoff wins as far as the weight – value of for a quarterback success. I think David, me and you've had several conversations about this, but I think I'm much more of a I don't hold so tightly to that opinion anymore, because I do think, like, the whole Eli Manning debate, like, it just kind of makes you see how stupid, you know what I mean? Like, some of these, Eli Manning's won all these Super Bowls, so he's definitely one of the top five or whatever. It's like, no, like, no one in their right mind, if they were picking if they're picking an all-star team and they had all these options, you know, nothing against Eli Manning. I like Eli Manning, but he's nothing compared to Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, you know what I mean? His brother. But totally agree with you, and that's another reason why I think football, why we love football so much, and this is a podcast about football, is because football is, like, probably, in my opinion, the biggest team sport that there is. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that drew our loves to it when we were kids. But I know that was kind of a little tangent that we both went on, but I just want to get your opinion so the listeners could hear that. David, was there any other games that stuck out to you? I know we had a shootout in Pittsburgh. Baker Mayfield went on the road, beat Pittsburgh. What were your thoughts from that game?
My thoughts from that game were the Steelers suck. I will never, ever support the Steelers again. I'm still ticked off and bitter. I've gone off on them in this podcast a few times since they did this. They are the worst 11-0 team of all time. They were the worst 11-0 team of all time. There's no debate. They started off 11-0, and then they lost four of their next five and lost the first round of the playoffs. And they got wrecked by a team that didn't have a head coach. I heard it summed up perfectly. I believe it was from Pat McAfee this week. But I've heard it summed up perfectly when we hear that the Steelers got out-coached by a team that didn't have a head coach. Yeah. It's terrible. In my opinion, I think it's time to turn the page. Big Ben, great career, needs to retire. He needs to move on. We're done. The people that are saying, oh, it's not Big Ben's fault because he threw 500 yards. Well, watch the game again because he threw four picks, buddy, and he threw four picks way before he threw those 500 yards. He threw 68 pass attempts to get that 500 yards. I've never seen – this might be one of the worst games I've seen from a quarterback. He got some garbage time, sure. He threw four interceptions. Yeah. Like, you can't give him credit and say it's not on Big Ben. Mike Tomlin, he should have been fired years ago. He needs to be out of there. It's terrible. It's pathetic. It's an embarrassment to the league. It's an embarrassment to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's an embarrassment to me.
They need to clear out. Last week, I said there was something special about this team. Something special meaning they were going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
I know. When you said that, I knew that they sucked, Thomas, because I thought similar to you, Thomas. I was like, oh, they're 11-0. I'm going to defend these guys. Yeah. They're 11-0 still, but no, they're terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. With a lot of other picks that I made last week, I don't know what I was thinking. Like you said, Big Ben, he almost reached 70 passing attempts. Dude, I don't know if Russell Wilson could get 70 in three games. I mean,
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers could get 70 in a game. He hasn't thrown 70 in a game, so I guess he can't. But
Packers and Seattle's never gotten to that point where it's just like, we're going to let our quarterback just sling it every single down.
But I also don't know that I've ever seen a game where the Packers or Seattle have been down 28-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yes, very true, dude. Very, very true. And that's something that, you know, that the Browns have been a part of on the good end this past season is they go up quickly on teams, you know, the Titans, the Cowboys, and then they almost blow it at the end. This one wasn't so bad. But let's flip the script. What are your thoughts about Baker Mayfield and the Browns? Hey, we'll get into this when we break down the playoff games for next week, but are they here? Are they here to stay in NFC North?
My thoughts are this is very similar to the Titans last year, but even more fire. This team came in pissed off, obviously wanted to prove everybody wrong, wanted to finally get rid of the Steelers, and they did exactly that. I don't think that they're a team that can't win at all because they have a good defense, they have a good run game, they have a solid quarterback when he's playing well. And, I mean, there's no secret that the Browns are one of the most talented teams in the NFL. They've been one of the most talented teams in the NFL for the last 2 years. And last year they missed the playoffs, and this year they barely snuck into the playoffs. So the question isn't whether the talent's there. It's just whether it'll be there. And I think that they're going to – I don't think they're going to get, you know, boat raced in one of these games. I don't think they're going to get wrecked. But I still don't think they have the firepower. I don't know that they have the firepower to win next week, but I definitely don't think that they'll get the firepower to win their way all the way to the Super Bowl.
Dude, I agree. And you said something a couple minutes ago, and you said they're very similar to the Titans team last year, which reminds me, David, that we had a Titans team this year, and they lost to the Ravens. Lamar Jackson ran all over them, 16 carries, 136 yards, playing backyard football, played a pretty efficient game, throwing the ball as well. They go on the road. And, you know, we were talking about it last week how they were a very ticked off team There's a lot of top teams playing in the AFC. Dude, yeah, what were your quick thoughts about the Ravens and Titans?
My quick thoughts is mostly it's more of a message to the people that, you know, the people that are the Derrick Henryers is what I like to call them. The people that have been saying, oh, it's a Derrick Henry for MVP or else it's a quarterback's award and we might as well just call it a quarterback's award. Oh, Derrick Henry, there's no way he shouldn't win MVP. Shut up. This is why he's not the MVP. This is why. And I'm Derrick Henry's awesome. These people put me in a situation where I'm going after a guy that I like, that I think is awesome, and that I love to watch play the game. But Derrick Henry is not a pass catcher. He is not Christian McCaffrey. He is not Dalvin Cook. He's not Aaron Jones. He is not a pass catcher. He is in a situation where when the game gets out of hand, he can't be on the field very much. He can't. And you can't have that and say that the guy's supposed to be an MVP. We've seen it in multiple games this year. One of them, you mentioned, the Browns, where all of a sudden he's just a non-factor. But we've seen this now. In the last few weeks, we saw him fail to step up against the Packers and fail to step up against this team. Two games where they needed. And I'm not saying failed to step up is a strong term. Both teams sold out to stop him. And so I'm not saying he played badly, but he's not this unstoppable presence. He's amazing. He's great. He's special. He's fun to watch. He's not an MVP candidate. So that's gone. Next, Ryan Tannehill's fine. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are not 1A and 1B. It's Derrick Henry or you're going to lose the game. Unless you're lucky, because they do have lots of weapons. But unless you're lucky, Ryan Tannehill is now proven in multiple games he only gets it done when Derrick Henry's moving. You know, and he didn't have a terrible game. I know that. Like, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying he could never win a Super Bowl, because I definitely think this team's talented enough and he's good enough, you know, to get the job done. But 18 for 26, 165 yards and a touchdown and a pick ain't going to get the job done when your running back only runs for 40 yards. And so it's not going to happen. Their defense has proven all year long to be overrated. They're done. Ravens, solid win. I'm excited to see what they do this week, to see if this was – obviously they came in there ticked off, but they came in there ticked off and barely won. And so I'm kind of – I mean, when I say those numbers to you, and then I tell you that Lamar Jackson ran for 136 yards and a touchdown, and that J.K. Dobbins averaged 4.8 yards a carry, and that Gus Edwards averaged 4.8 yards a carry, and that Marquise Brown had 109 yards receiving, you're sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, this Ravens team probably won by 30. They won by 20 to 13. And so I'm not sold on their playoff run, but it was a good win for them. And you have to get the first one to get the second one, as a famous philosopher once said. You have to win the first game to be able to win the second game.
Absolute truth, man. I couldn't have said it better myself. Absolutely. I do think very well, you know, Lamar Jackson is something special. Watching him out there just kind of dodge and weave.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And just make it look like backyard football is something special.
Dude, they make those safeties. You watch it, and it's like a video game. The way he's separating from those safeties, it's like, are you playing Madden on like 50% speed? Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing, but playing on like slow motion where like you separate from everybody or something. Am I out there playing safety with the way he's separating from those guys? It's ridiculous. It's literally the only thing he reminds me of when he's running that way in the open field. There's one person that he just reminds me of, and it's Chris freaking Johnson. Yeah. You used to see Chris Johnson. It's like, oh, that safety. There's no way he's getting. Oh wait, he just erased that angle. There's no way that safety is going to get him. That's what watching Lamar Jackson's like. It's like, oh, Lamar Jackson's going to have a nice 5-yard run. Oh, he's going to run past everyone. He's going to make that safety look like the slowest guy on the planet, and he's now scoring a 50-yard touchdown. How did he – I mean, you just – it's insane. It's like, are they playing in the slower field, and he's just running on a track? I don't know. It's insane to watch him separate from guys.
Shout out to Chris Johnson. I totally forgot about that guy, but that is a solid – that is a solid comparison, man. That is a very solid comparison. Only a few players like that could separate from players. I mean, just totally take away, angle pursuits, you know, and Lamar is one of those guys. He's something special. But you know, David, you know what's something that isn't special? Or you know what wasn't special for somebody in the league this week? Somebody. Okay, yeah. The Bears lost? Should we do a couple minutes on that? Oh, I was just going to say, there's a guy that got fired this week in the NFL.
Oh, yes. Thomas.
Two guys.
There was a guy that got fired this week. We don't even need to talk about the stupid Bears. They suck. Saints, okay, you played one quarter of good football. And let's move on.
Oh,
tell us about it, Thomas.
So, big news. Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, is out of Philly. David. Yeah.
Or Dougie,
Dougie
P.
Fresh. Dude, what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are I go back and forth. I think he's a good coach. In one sense, I do think the Eagles maybe moved a little too fast in moving on from him. Like, he's you know, it's easy to sit here and think, okay, well, he had that one good Super Bowl year where, because he's underachieved a little bit each year, but this is the first year he's missed the playoffs since he won the Super Bowl. You know, and we look at what, like, the leash that Dan Quinn got, like, after he lost the Super Bowl. You know, we look at some of those situations, and it's easy to say, like, I don't think he's the worst coach out there. I do think he was good. Now, the rumors are that he got tired of them telling him what to do. If that's true, then it's on the Eagles. That's stupid. Let your coach or get a new coach. And in that situation, I do think they may have messed up. If that's as true as it sounds, they've been trying to micromanage him. You know, the guy that brought the first Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles, you're trying to micromanage him. Just let him coach. And so if that's the case, bad on them. But I don't know if I should applaud them for, like, being courageous enough to just bite the bullet now, or whether they just made the biggest mistake in franchise
especially
history.
Like,
I don't know.
The history of, like, the Eagles having to move away. Or make big decisions in the off season, they for sure moved. You know, I agree with you, first of all, but they moved pretty quickly on this decision to get rid of Doug Peterson. I will say, I do, as you mentioned, David, I do know that there was some tension with the front office and him. They were just not getting along in a lot of ways. I know that's a fact. But like you said, I was a little shocked that they moved. You know, I made jokes about this in the previous weeks, so I honestly didn't think they were going to do it. But, you know, they got rid of him pretty quickly, which I didn't see coming. And it's like you said, Dave, I don't know if I should applaud them, because, you know, they've had to make some hard decisions these last few years. And, you know, I don't know if we would both agree if they made the right decision with the quarterback situation. But they did move on pretty quickly. David, what does this mean for Carson Wentz, do you think?
He's gone. I think Carson Wentz is gone. I think as long as they can get rid of him, he's gone. Obviously, it's a big contract, and so that's going to be hard to sell. But I think if they can get rid of him, he's gone.
Are they just starting over, do you think? Like, starting scratch?
I think so. And in a way, I do think they needed to. I just don't think that they needed to, including their head coach.
Poor Philly fans are going to have to return to the dismal 2-14, 3-13 seasons, I think. But
I think
I don't
so too.
Feel too bad for them, because they are the Eagles.
I don't feel bad for them one bit. It's just
kinda, it sucks to be them sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know what that's safe. That's the suck.
Sir.
So I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole. You know, this is a deep dive discussion for maybe another podcast, an off season podcast. But do you think that where do you stand on this Philly job? Like, do you think this is a good job?
Ooh, good question. Great question. I honestly have not took a lot of time to view it. From the vacancy point of view. You know, I do know that Philly is one of the toughest, if not the toughest market as far as keeping management and the fans and people within the office and keeping them happy. I know from that point of view, head coaching is very difficult in Philly. You know, and they're not a very storied franchise. I know, you know, they made it to the Super Bowl, I think in the 70s or 80s or whatever it was, and obviously a couple years ago, but not very storied.
And oh, like you're correct.
You're correct, Donovan McNabb.
But you're right, though. I just wanted to throw that out there before we know how Philly fans will be. We didn't want the hate.
I'm just kidding. but yeah, so good catch. Donovan McNabb, he was a stud. But, you know, it's a tough place to coach, I think. And then looking where how far they have to build and a type of, from that point of view, building a culture. It's kind of different when you're trying to build a culture in the NFL, but you still have to go in and come in with an attitude and a mindset that you want to build this team a certain way. And I think that'd be difficult with where they're at. So, you know, yeah, I think it'd be a tough sell for sure. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's that desirable of a job. I think, you know, between the ownership that's proven that they're going to fire quick. I mean, if they just fired their only Super Bowl winning coach in franchise history, over, and then on top of that, over the fact that in part that there was disputes in the front office, like just knowing as a coach, that, like, and maybe that's on Doug Peterson, but knowing as a coach that I can win a Super Bowl and you're still not going to be happy with me and it's going to cause dysfunction between us and fights between us. Right. It's not a spot that I want to be in. And you're in a weird quarterback situation. I don't think they have a ton of draft capital. I could be wrong, but I know that they had to do the Carson Wentz trade a couple years ago. And so they're probably not in too great of a spot. I don't think they're – honestly, I don't think that they're terrible at drafting. They have not – who have they drafted in recent years? They got guys like Sidney Jones and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And, I mean, this year Jalen Reagor looks okay. And Miles Sanders was okay from last year. But yeah. – Who else? Probably someone else that I'm missing. I mean, to be fair, there's probably definitely someone that I'm forgetting that's probably the best player on the team. But I don't know. Just doesn't seem like that desirable of a spot. And, like, Eagles fans are sold on Jalen Hurts being the dude. And so if all of a sudden he goes back and he's doing what he did at the end of last season, throwing 7-for-20 in games,
right?
You're getting the blame for it.
And then you also get the blame if you put another guy in there and it gets, you know, it goes south and then you put Jalen Hurts and you know, he does a better job. Doesn't even have to do supremely better, but just does a little better job. Then, you know, your questioning gets called or your coaching gets is questioned. So, dude, I totally agree.
Yeah. I want to just quickly correct what I did say. My researcher looked it up quickly, and the Eagles do have all of their picks this year, it does appear. They do have all seven. Oh, no, they're missing their fifth pick. Oh, no, they have an extra fifth pick. I'm sorry. But they do have all of their picks, so I guess you have that going.
How many picks does that add up to?
I don't know. So they have eight picks this year. They have their picks.
And David, you know what else has to do with eight? There are eight teams left.
No, I don't.
In this playoff year. David, it's time. It is time. Thomas, eight teams left.
You're right.
The other teams, they're not good. You know, Seattle, get out of here. They lost fair and square to the Rams. Then there were eight. We're in the Elite Eight, David. We have a lot of good games. We have Tampa Bay playing New Orleans. We have Drew Brees and Tom Brady going for a duel. We're having the old man
that's bowl.
That's a great title for that game. Great title. We have the LA Rams playing Green Bay. That's a game I'm personally really excited for. I think it's going to be a good game. And then we have Cleveland at Kansas City, Baltimore at Buffalo. David, let's break them down. Let's start off with Cleveland at Kansas City this week. Who wins this game? Why? What's intriguing, and why do they win?
What I'm probably most intrigued by is I'm most intrigued to see. First, I want to see how Baker does in this type of atmosphere in a big game. You know, a little bit maybe hungover from the win of last week. Not literally hungover, but you know, like hungover from the big win, emotional win last week. So I want to see if he can kind of emerge as one of those quarterbacks that can perform consistently in these big games. But then the biggest guy I want to see is Myles Garrett, who, you know, was a leader for Defensive Player of the Year last year before we know what happened. And then this year, again, before he got COVID, was one of the guys in the race for Defensive Player of the Year. I want to see him come out in these playoffs and let's see if he is truly – is he a good defender? Is he a good pass rusher? Or is he one of the best defenders in the league? Is he one of the most dominant defenders in the game? You have to take over these type of games in order for that to be the case. So I'm looking forward to that. But beyond that, as far as like any type of prediction, I do think Myles Garrett's gonna have a big game. He didn't have any sacks last week. I just confirmed that. But so that is part of my prediction. But I think it's gonna be a close game that the Chiefs will win. You know, I think that it's going to be a dogfight a little bit. The Browns are going to be pumped up, but I do think that they're going to be a little bit in over their heads this week, a little bit too emotional from last week. Now, they do. I will say they 100% do not deserve to be 10-point underdogs.
That is outrageous.
I am outraged by that. Biggest underdogs of the week, 10 points. Yeah, but dude, I do agree think with they you. Will.
I think the Browns will play it. I think they'll play it close for 3.5 quarters. And I think the Chiefs will eventually kind of pull away from them. But I do think the Myles Garrett mention is something that's going to be intriguing to watch. Is he a legit guy that we all thought he was, or a lot of people thought he was coming, you know, when he was drafted, getting all this hype? Is he the legit guy? Because like you were saying, David, last year, you know, he was in the talk. This year he was in the talk. And I do think it's going to be a great game. I think it will be a fun game to watch. I do think, like you said, I just think the Kansas City Chiefs will just be a little bit too much. Patrick Mahomes would have had 2 weeks to prepare for this. And it's Patrick Mahomes at home in Kansas City. It's going to be a great game, but I do think Kansas City pulls away. It is outrageous, I will say. The Chiefs, the Browns being 10-point underdogs, that's an outrageous amount. But David, on the other side, the winner of this game will play the winner of the Baltimore Ravens playing the Buffalo Bills. Another great matchup, I think. It's going to be not a slugfest in the fact that it's going to be a defensive battle. It may well end up being that way, but it's going to be a slugfest as in two great quarterbacks that are going to outduel each other, maybe outrun each other. I don't know. But who wins this game? What's your prediction? And why do they win that? And what's intriguing about this matchup?
What's intriguing is we have the two young guns trying to duke it out. Two guys that, you know, had struggles in the playoffs historically up until last week. You know, and two young teams in general, really. Two teams that kind of, I think, like to play similar way. In a similar style. Obviously, they have different players, but like they kind of, you know, and I know the Bills have a bad run team this year, but the last couple years before this year, they've been a team that likes to run the football. Now they don't really have the personnel for that, really, but try to play defense. I think this is the game of the week over the Buccaneers and Saints, who I think would be most people's game of the week. To me, this is the game of the week. I want to see these young guns duke it out. I want to see each of these guys step up and prove not that they're a good quarterback, not that they're one of the better quarterbacks of the year, not that they were an MVP candidate 1 year, but that they are the class of the NFL. I want these guys to step up and say, I'm the guy, right. And I'm going to be the guy for the next 10 years. And so I'm excited to see that. I think it's going to be a ridiculously close game. But I think at the end of the day, Josh Stallion will pull it out. Stephon Diggs will pull it out. And I just think they have that little – mostly I think that it's that they have the firepower. I think it's going to be a close game. And in my opinion, close games, it comes down to the offense. When it's a close game, it comes down to the offense because it's who can score in those last 2 minutes. We've seen this. Maybe the way I think that is because I've watched too much Aaron Rodgers, and I know how many games it's been. We've gotten the ball back with 40 seconds left and went down and kicked the field goal. Or sometimes even gotten a touchdown. But I think it's going to come down to the offense. And if they are in that situation where they only have a minute left, my money's on the Bills scoring. I don't think that the Ravens could score in that type of situation. And so I think the Bills are going to win a heck of a game.
Great game. Like you said, David, it's the battle of the young guns. It's, you know, what's kind of, I was just thinking about this when you were talking. Both of these quarterbacks, before they were drafted, there was a lot of questions about if they could be that guy. And now this is, well, there was tons of questions about Josh Allen. But there was quite a few questions, too, about Lamar Jackson.
If he should be a quarterback.
And just all these things. And it's so ironic that now they're battling out. I mean, they're two games away from the Super Bowl. These two teams. It's going to be a heck of a game. I do agree with you. I think Buffalo, being at home, not that there's any home field advantage. For Buffalo, there might be a little bit because they do allow fans, quite a bit of fans too. Not a ton. Not like 75% capacity, but they got pretty loud during last week's playoff game. So I do think Buffalo at home, it's going to be cold. It's going to be a great game, a great playoff matchup. But I do think the Buffalo Bills defense will stifle and stop the Ravens just enough for the Buffalo Bills. And like you said, David, it does come down to offense a lot of times in these type of games. And I do think the firepower is in the hands of the Bills. So I do have them as well. David, let's move on to NFC. Like you said earlier, this is the old man matchup. Tampa Bay at the New Orleans Saints. David, what's intriguing about this matchup? Who wins and why?
Intriguing. Obviously, we're watching two of the greats go at it probably the last time. And I'm excited to see this. I'm very excited to see this. We also have a little bit of a secondary situation going on of like Drew Brees has dominated this team in the regular season. But now we're in the postseason. Will Tom Brady get the best of him when it really matters? You know, that's an interesting talk for me. I think the Buccaneers are going to win it. And I think that the reason for the Buccaneers are going to win it is because the Saints, I don't think that they're there. I don't think that they're there. They should have lost last week to the Bears. I think, I don't know if you watched the game with the Bears, but you have the Bears who had a wide open pass that would have been a touchdown, and that would have given the Bears the lead all the way until like 10 minutes left in the game. Just simply that. Now, obviously, the Saints may have pushed it more, but there was also a time when they were on the 30-yard line. The Bears went for it on fourth down, trying to be aggressive, and didn't get it. It was like a 7-6 ball game going into the fourth quarter, or something like that. It was close all game going into the fourth quarter, and the Bears did not look impressive. It was just that the Saints just didn't do anything, and so I don't think. You know, Kamara was shut down for the most part, and I do think this Bucs defense can shut them down. And I love Drew Brees. Great, great player, great person, one of my all-time favorite football players that I've watched, especially that's not a Packer. I think he's done. I just don't think he can do it anymore. He's making the plays every now and then. He's had some high IQ plays, and he had them last week, but – And those that are thinking right now, well, they have this Bears defense. This Bears defense is super good, right? Well, in a must-win game, the Bears needed to beat the Packers to control their own destiny. What did Aaron Rodgers and the Packers do to that Bears defense? And I get that this year the Packers are on another level than the Saints, but that's kind of my point. I just don't think that the Saints are that offensive firepower house that they've been in the past. And so I think the Buccaneers – will take probably a pretty close game, but I think when it comes down to it, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin's going to make more plays
agree.
To
this
win
is,
the game.
You know, you talking about the Saints. I wish I could have put it into words that were similar to yours this week, because last week I was talking about how I was afraid that Drew Brees was going to lay an egg And for just some reason, the Saints don't look like they're normal, like the normal Saints. And, you know, I had a lot of questions. I thought the Bears could have beat them. And I was honestly fearful of that game, which makes me even more fearful because I know, honestly, these two teams may be some of the most inconsistent teams in all of football. They're good, very good teams. But yeah, I will, as well as you, David, I will go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just because I am so – I have this gut feeling that Drew Brees is going to lay an egg. Not Drew Brees. I just say the Saints in general because I do love Drew Brees. Literally, probably one of the best people in all that's ever played the game. Love him, you know, great quarterback, you know, amazing arm. He's only 6 feet tall. I don't know how he can see over those trees that are in front of him and make throws that he can. He's amazing, amazing, but he's just not the same. The Saints team is not the same. I think the Buccaneers will get a win. I think it's probably going to be a pretty close game, but I do think, you know, Tampa Bay will probably lead for the majority of the game and then kind of just take it away in the fourth. But I'm with you on this one. David, I think probably the game that I am most excited about, I think only for one reason, I'll tell you in a sec, but it's the LA Rams at Green Bay Packers. Your beloved Green Bay Packers are hosting the Rams. David, what's intriguing about this matchup? Who's going to win and why are they going to win?
I think the most intriguing thing about this matchup is Sean McVay versus Matt LaFleur. I mean, two guys that are great friends going back all the way to the days when they were both on the Mike Shanahan staff in Washington.
No, you were correct. You said Mike
Shanahan. Did I say Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, yeah, Mike Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was there also, though. All that superstar young staff. And so I think that's going to be a fun little battle between the two of them. I know that they're both great friends. People that don't pay – that are more interested in narratives and actually listening and learning things about football would say that Matt LaFleur only got the job because he was the offensive coordinator with Sean McVay for a year. And for that Rams team. And so it'll be interesting. That's probably the closest thing I'm looking at. The other thing is Aaron Donald. I don't know exactly what the injury is, but I know that it's like something that's supposed to be like a 3-week injury. Most supposed to be like 3 weeks missing. And he came back last week.
What a man.
And he's going to play this week, which is insane. And I'm always very interested in these type of situations because not only is it like, okay, this guy's got to be one of the toughest people on the planet. But also it's like, okay, here's this guy. He's got a broken rib or something, got three broken ribs or something. Shouldn't be able to play a football game for 3 weeks. But he is still better than our next option. And he is. He is. Aaron Donald is probably going to tear it up. You know, but I'm interested to see. I love watching him play, and I'm interested to see what happens. As far as how I think the game's going to go, I think the Packers are going to get up early, and then I think the Rams are going to make it interesting. I don't think it's going to be a boat race by any means. I think it'll be a close game by the end of the game. But I think it's going to be like early on, it's going to look like, oh my, the Packers are about to run away with this. And then all of a sudden the Rams are going to get going and they're going to figure some things out a little bit. I do think the Packers are going to win, but I think it's going to be, closer game than most would expect, I think. I know the Packers are 6.5-point favorites, but I think it's going to be around, if we win a lot, I think it'll be around that, like a seven-point win. I don't think it's going to be a double-digit or double-possession win.
Oh.
Do not say we're going to win by 40, Thomas.
You I'll played be honest, that curse David, on I was going to say something along those season. Lines. And it wasn't just
I I'm know, I can tell any, because I'm not trying you're, to put any curses say...
on no one. I just, this is literally, legitimately,
you're
I
thought Seattle to
was
going to
win confidently last week. And all these other claims that I made, besides maybe a few about Jared Stidham, I was serious about. But this, I'll be honest. Okay, real talk here. I'm very, very much intrigued about this matchup for one reason and one reason only. Is it's going to bring back so much? It's going to be bring back like nostalgic feelings. Green Bay hosting a playoff game, frozen tundra, Lambeau Field. I wish there were going to be fans. That's the only thing that's probably missing from that equation. Oh, is there?
There is going to be fans. Yeah, I can't remember like 3,000 or something like that. So not very many, but the Lambeau faithful
just
will
that
be in
just
attendance.
That. I don't know. You know, growing up, you know, I was born in 96, grew up late 90s, early 2000s, just watching the Green Bay Packers always playing playoff football at Lambeau Field, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. It's just something that's going to bring back a lot of memories. I'm super excited for that. Now, as far as how I think the game's going to go, David, this is no curse, but I think the Green Bay Packers are going to destroy the Rams. I think Aaron Donald and this is real talk. I'm not trying to inflict the curse. You know, like last week, I'm very confident in Seattle, and I would have made this out.
And you inflicted accidentally,
though. Like, I'm very confident Seattle would have won because just how inconsistent LA is. But I just think Green Bay is just too good. I see a Green Bay is going to go up big very quickly. Maybe not a big, but, you know, 17, 20 points. 20-3, something like that. And I just don't have any confidence in that Rams offense. Man, they got lucky that Cam Akers played a heck of a game last week against Seattle, which Seattle's defense, we played better the last half of the season, but that's nothing to write home about, you know, putting up big numbers on us, on our team. And I just think Green Bay's, you know, I think I saw something that their injury list is one of the best it's ever been. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. I just think they're going to be too much for the Rams. I don't really say that to be funny or to do anything. I just think the Green Bay Packers are by far in the NFC the best team. And Green Bay, Lambeau Field, I'm excited to watch that game. I'm excited just the frozen tundra and watching players hit each other hard in the cold. It's going to be fun to watch, but I do have the Packers.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. Yeah. Just to clear one thing up, there's 6,000 fans that will be allowed in the stadium.
Will they allow them to do the Lambeau Leap?
But yeah, it'll be a fun one for sure.
Probably not with COVID.
probably not. Hopefully not. To be honest, like I hope that they have those 6,000 fans on the outer row of the stadium, all the way around the stadium in one row. I know they say 6 feet, but I want to keep them 600 feet away. I'm glad the fans are there, but I do not want them anywhere near.
Yeah, I understand that. I would be in the same boat if
my players.
Seattle was in this position.
Now, when the Rams are on the field, go ahead and come down. No, I'm just kidding. That's obviously a joke. I don't want Rams players to get COVID. That would actually bring no benefit to the Packers. Thomas, you're the one that said it.
The worst person that ever lived. But, you know, listeners, thank you for listening this week. That's all we have. We'll have a lot to break down next week. We'll have the recap of what we've seen. And of obviously the NFC and AFC championship game. It's going to be a fun week of football. I hope you guys all have a good week. David, anything you want to say to the fans before we leave? Go Pack, go, baby.
Go Pack, go.
Sweet. Well, man, do you need any help editing or doing anything like that? Okay. Dude, I hope
I'm pulling
for the Packers. Dude, my best friends, you're, you know, Pat Packers fan. My grandpa's pulling for him. Tommy's pulling for him. Dude, I hope Packers. I was being really serious. I do think the Packers are going to obliterate the Rams. I hope I didn't inflict a curse.
I hope so.
If they lose, I won't text you at all. I'll honestly feel like the worst friend, dude.
Don't.
Dude, I feel like the worst friend.
Don't ever. We'll end the podcast.
Dude, I don't.
I'm just kidding.
I just shut up now. But, Austin, man, is there anything that you need me to do? Any help or anything like that? Okay, well. Dude,
no, dude, I think I got it.
We're done. Yep, We got some politics out of our system.
Just like we planned it.
Well, anyways, man, I hope you and Bethany have a good night. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Hey, you too, bro. Bye.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.